Recently, I needed to go to the post office and then to the bank down the street. When I reached the post office, I was dismayed to see there was a long line of people waiting for service. I knew I'd be spending upwards of 20 minutes in that line before I could obtain service. And then when I reached the bank, I was appalled to see that here, too, there was a lengthy line of people waiting to see a banker, and here, too, I knew I would spend over 20 minutes waiting. There was no point getting upset, so I put in the required waiting time and finally got my business done. There are not too many things I despise more than unnecessary waiting. It just seems like such a waste of time. I don't accomplish anything, I cannot write any articles or create any videos or read the Bible or do any kind of serious praying. I just stand and wait. That seems incredibly inefficient. But as I thought about this, somehow my mind reverted to the life of the great apostle Paul and the different ways his own life was less than ideal in terms of pure efficiency in the use of time. And I realized God was giving me a powerful insight here and teaching me that often what we consider a waste of time is not always the case. Let's think about Paul. First, he was a bivocational minister. He was not a full-time preacher. The Bible tells how he met a married couple named Aquila and Priscilla, and we read, "So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers." We learn to our amazement that Paul had a trade. He had a secondary job. He was a maker of tents, which he sold to finance himself to travel and do the work of Christ. Making tents would not have been a simple one-hour operation. In those days, without sewing machines and manufacturing equipment, everything would have to be done by hand. It probably took Paul several days or maybe even a week or more to make a single tent. During this time, Paul would be primarily focused on what we might call secular activities. He was not writing epistles or praying all day long or preaching at conferences or holding evangelistic crusades or praying for the sick or casting out demons. The great apostle and theologian was cutting fabric, sewing pieces together, and no doubt making numerous trips to the market to purchase the materials and tools needed to finish the job. Considering that Paul was the church's greatest minister and theologian, we might consider this a notorious waste of time. Surely he could find some wealthy believers to finance him and set him free from secular work. But Paul went right on making his tents as his finances dictated the need, and then going on to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Another aspect of his life that kept Paul from accomplishing more was his mode of travel. Paul did a whole lot of walking as he made his evangelistic and apostolic journeys. It is true that sometimes he took ships, but his main manner of getting from one city to another was to walk on the dusty roads of the Middle East. He often would spend several days to get where he felt led by the Spirit to go. These were days when he could not be studying the Scriptures or writing epistles or preparing sermons. He and his group of friends would do what nearly everybody else did in those days, walk and talk for hour after hour, and sometimes for several days until they reached their destination. How much more could this great giant of the faith have accomplished had he had a car at his disposal and could fly on airplanes from one nation to the next? Between his tent making and his walking and travels, Paul spent an enormous amount of time where his brilliant mind and his eloquent pen had to be put on hold. Another limitation Paul faced were those prison years in the latter part of his life. In Acts 21, we read of Paul being arrested, and for the rest of that book, Paul is a prisoner. No more traveling and establishing churches, no more teaching in the synagogues, no more revivals, no more appointing elders in various churches, no more taking the gospel to places and people who had never heard about Jesus. Now Paul sits in prison year after year. It is true that he penned four epistles while in prison that made it into the New Testament, but he could have written those epistles as a free man just as easily as being a prisoner. Many of us would have questioned God if we had been in Paul's sandals. Why are you keeping me here, Lord? I could do so much more. I could win so many more souls, plant so many more churches. Instead, I spend day after day as a prisoner. Things were really popping when I was a free man, and now they seem to have come to a screeching halt. Those years of prison tedium seemed to be a colossal waste of time, and yet God allowed his servant to remain there for some years. And finally, history tells us that Paul was put to death for his faith in Christ, beheaded by a cruel Roman executioner. Paul was no young man by this time, but his mind was still razor sharp, his faith was still red hot, and had he been set free and lived longer, maybe another 10 or 15 years more, how many more souls could he have won to Jesus? How many more churches could he have planted, and how many more brilliant epistles could he have written? When you put all these facts together, Paul's need to frequently work as a tent maker, his necessity of walking long days to get where he felt led to go, his prison years in the latter portion of his life, and his execution, which cut short the most magnificent ministry the church has ever seen, you might be tempted to think Paul got a raw deal. Surely much of his amazing potential was wasted with all these distractions. And yet, despite all of this, Paul has influenced the world as no minister of Christ ever has. No, he did not write 100 epistles, he did not convert millions of people, at least not in his lifetime, and he was not able to pray and read the scriptures all day long. But despite his limitations, Paul gave the world the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. To put it in his own words, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Why is this important to us today? We often see ourselves as limited. We feel as though we could do so much more in our service to Jesus if only. If only I had more money. If only I had more skills. If only I was smarter or prettier or more intelligent. If only I could be a full-time minister. In our minds, our lives and circumstances are so far from ideal that it's hardly worth even trying to serve the Lord. What can we really accomplish given all the demands on our time and all our other limitations? The truth is, we have all that we need to be able to do all that Christ has called us to do. And if in the future we'll need more, Jesus will provide that in his own time, that we may be fully equipped for the Master's service. Once when the disciples told Jesus that he must dismiss the multitudes so that the people could go to local markets and buy something to eat, Jesus asked them, "What do you have?" He did not ask them, "What don't you have?" He asked them, "What do you have?" It turned out they didn't have much, but they were able to come up with a few fish and a few small loaves of bread. He told the disciples, "Bring them to me." And after blessing the bread and fish, Jesus instructed the disciples to feed the huge crowds, and they discovered to their amazement that the bread and fish just kept on multiplying and multiplying until everybody was fed and full. Our lives will never be ideal, but we can give our few fish and loaves to Jesus, our small little talent, our limited finances, our meager opportunities, and watch Jesus multiply them. Little becomes much when it is placed in the Master's hands.